Rebel Force Radio apparel and accessories are now available on our website. Say it loud and say it proud with RFR t-shirts, hats, mugs, phone cases, water bottles, coffee mugs, pajamas, baby wear, stickers, buttons, even tie-dye. Sizes for men and women. Choose from cool colors and styles. Visit RebelForceRadio.com and click on Shop to get your RFR gear today.
May the Force be with you, bro.
This is where the fun begins.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Star Wars number one.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Now it's time for Rebel Force Radio.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Oh, yes. Shut, everyone. Welcome back. Your source for the Force, Rebel Force Radio. This week's show for July 29th, 2021. So great to be with you. Glad you're hanging out with us. It is always a good time when we get together and talk all things Star Wars. And what a jam-packed show we have for you. Not only do we have some news about the Cassian Andor series coming up, also some interesting developments with respect to recent Lucasfilm hires. We'll talk about that. Plus, if you haven't seen it, there's a new show on Disney Plus that is called Behind the Attraction. So they're looking at all the various, you know, iconic at Disney attractions at the various theme parks, and they did an episode on Star Tours. So we'll be bringing you a highlight or two from there, and just all kinds of stuff. We got a special, very special guest in the studio. Won't give it away yet, but introductions in order if you're new to the program. My name is Jason, and with me, my good friend and yours from Chicago, no surprise, Jimmy Mack.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Star Wars fans. So glad to be here with everyone again this week as we're rocking the summer Star Wars style. Bad Batch is happening and rolling along. I'm really looking forward to that Disney Gallery show that's going to be coming up. Let me see if I can
the end of August, right?
Yeah. How were you so quick to remember that, Jason? Well, I'll tell you why Jason was so quick to remember. Because it was that show drops the day before Jason's birthday. So I just want to get that out of the way. Jason's itching to talk about his birthday, usually toward the end of July every year, because, we need a month to prepare for Jason's birthday. And I got to say thank you to Jason, though, because you got me some great books for my birthday. They showed up a little late because it took a while for this pre-order to click through or whatever. But they're great books about the packaging design of the original vintage Star Wars action figures. And it's a great book. It's called something, The Proof or something. The Proof is in the Pudding. I can't remember what it's called. But it's a really great book, and I really appreciate you passing it along. We were talking about that a little bit before the beginning of the show. You also got me one of those Rainbow R2s. Actually, you got me two of them. Those Disney Park Rainbow R2 action figures. Those things are going for like $100-$150 online now. So thank you very much.
First, if I knew that, I wouldn't have sent you two of them.
I didn't think so.
I sent you two for a reason. I mean, one, obviously, because it was coming off the heels of your birthday, but. The other one was for someone else, really.
I thought I made
that clear in my note that I put in there.
No, I understand, and he will be giving it tonight, and I could give it to him tonight because here we are in studio with my good friend and yours from Chicago, Billy Mack.
Oh, look at this!
Hey.
Oh, there he is. There he for real he this time,
Billy. Oh, hold on. Billy,
Oh, oh, you know,
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I didn't, oh, there we I got go. So excited you were here, I didn't turn your microphone on. yeah, so here you are. For real,
the abuse.
It's been a while. Reals, has it been a while since you've been
it
on?
Feels like it's been a long time, like a really long time.
Yeah, I mean, not since time? Winter.
Like
I
years.
Think. Well, I don't know about has that.
It, been, it hasn't been didn't that
we,
long.
Didn't we do a commentary together? I think that might have been one of the last times we were.
Yeah, solo.
Yeah, that's
no,
right.
We yeah. did a Rise of Skywalker too.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, did I? Oh, yeah.
Yes, see, you did take part in that.
Oh,
I guess I forgot about that one.
Yeah, boy, if you want to, if you're not a fan of The Rise of Skywalker and you want to have, you know, you want to be in good company, you can listen to that audio commentary because Bill, you don't hold back. You're not a fan of that movie.
Oh, well, I felt like I was kind of doing it with kid gloves though, because I was the odd guy out, but you know, hopefully I made a few decent points in there. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade, But anyway, God, was that the last time? So how long ago? It has been years then. How long ago was Rise of Skywalker? Skywalker's been like 5 years already.
We're just happy you're here now. So
I do find, though.
It's been a while, though.
I do find that the year that was 2020 almost like doesn't exist in my memory. It's such a strange phenomenon.
It's like an alien abduction. I mean, it's just a missing year and a half or whatever. Missing time.
Yeah, it's so odd. I tell you, though. I am very heartened by the emails that we received over the last year and a half. I mean, I can't speak for Jimmy Mac, but I mean, this show and doing this every week, it helped keep me sane. It stopped every week from bleeding into the next week. You know, there were new things to talk about, and we heard a lot of comments from those of you that listen to this show that it was helpful to you during that period of time. So we appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Your podcasters are becoming people's best friends. I mean, I feel that way. There's podcasts I listen to. I'm like, geez, this is
like this one
friend I have right now. You know, it's like,
no, you know what though? I mean, it's just, I'm not going to say anything you guys don't know, but it's just, it's the magic of the, you know, the talk radio or that voice coming through the speaker. There's something magical about it, and as great as TV is and YouTube and streaming and all of that, there's just something about that relationship that you form with that voice coming through the earphones or the speaker or whatever, it's special, and it's, I've benefited from it, from you know, being on the other end, and hopefully, you know, we'll continue to, you know, mean something to those of you listening. So anyway, what a great show we have. As I said, guys, we've got news about Andor. I mean, this is sort of
news about Andor with quotes.
Well,
news.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, we're going to take all the scraps that we can get because that's what we do. But we're on the verge, you know, we're on the precipice of the release of a lot of this stuff, and it's going to be super, super exciting. We were just talking, this is a non-story story, but, you know, Joel Edgerton, who's reprising his role as young Owen or young Gish Owen in the Kenobi series, he gave an interview online and, you know, they said, oh, what can you tell us about Kenobi? And he's like, I can't tell you anything about it.
Right.
So, I mean, so even when you get these actors on your, you know, on your website or on your podcast, they're not saying anything. They can't say anything.
No. The same thing's going on with the cast of The Mandalorian, who have just been called back to work. So cameras are starting to roll on The Mandalorian this week. Cameras have been rolling on the Kenobi series, with strong rumors coming out of that production that Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Maul are going to be reunited in that series. Those are strong rumors coming out of the set of the Kenobi series. And, of course, Book of Boba Fett coming up this summer.
Yeah.
So there's a – or this summer, this winter. This
right.
winter. Now, I can't think straight because I just blew my mind with that Darth Maul, Obi-Wan Kenobi rumor. But it's super strong. Apparently, Maul was slated to be in – the Obi-Wan Kenobi project when it was a film, thus his inclusion in the Solo film. That was his introduction, and it was going to pay off much bigger with the Obi-Wan Kenobi film. But as we all know, the plug was pulled on that production as far as it being a movie once Solo tanked, and they went back to the drawing board. So Kenobi got re-realized as a streaming series. With it, all of the ideas that were going to go into the Kenobi film are now going into the series. And it sure looks like Darth Maul is part of those plans.
Ah, well, that's very exciting. I'm sad to say, though, it turns out that the showrunner of the Book of Boba Fett is Kevin Smith, and he's going to kill off Boba Fett in the first episode, and then the rest of it is going to all be about Fennec Shand. Oh. As she takes on the mantle of I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Those rumors were running wild. Oh. Those rumors were running wild in season one of The Mandalorian, where people were predicting, or they were coming up with these ideas that The Mandalorian was going to be knocked out of service for a while, and Cara Dune would have picked up his armor and put it on, and she would have been the Mandalorian, and nobody would have known. Of course, that never happened, and now the likelihood of Cara Dune becoming the Mandalorian is very slim.
Well, yeah, but I would recognize Cara Dune's figure.
Features?
Yes, features. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Anywhere, even if under the bucket of the Mandalorian. So,
I made a discovery today because Tyler Page, our right hand, I should say, during our live shows.
Oh, he's our call screener, the official program observer. I mean,
what a great dude. I've been hanging with Tyler quite a bit lately. Oh, and yeah. He checked in with me just earlier today with a text. And he said, hey, I can't remember. Are we doing Friday or Saturday for the Bad Batch after show? And I told him, well, we'll be doing Friday this week for sure, Friday night. Mm-hmm. But instead of actually typing that out to him, I just sent him a link to the YouTube video of It's Friday, that song by, what's her name? Rebecca Black, I think was her name. Remember that song?
Yeah.
It's Friday. And when I sent it to him, I realized that she and Gina Carano look a hell of a lot alike.
Really?
A hell of a lot alike, except for some of those features that you were alluding to earlier.
Right,
yes,
right.
There are some of those features which are a little more downplayed on, but you know what I mean.
Oh, sure.
So, but I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, the It's Friday girl is Cara Dune. How weird.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know what? What do you say, guys? We kick things off with a little voicemail. How about that?
Let's do it.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, oh, it's a message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
What's up, guys? How you doing? This is Jim from California. I had a question for you. I was wondering if you could answer it for me. In the Return of the Jedi, I guess they did a remake. You know when Luke drags Vader to the shuttle and then removes his mask, and we see the face of Vader, who was the actor Sebastian Shaw. At the end of the movie, in the remake, when Luke looks out and sees the Force ghosts of Obi-Wan, Yoda, and then it's Hayden Christensen. So my question is, why didn't they have Hayden Christensen portray Sebastian Shaw's part as a remake? Anyway, if you have anything, it'd be great to hear from you. Love the podcast and love you guys too. May the Force be with you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the question. You know, I will say we've seen it in action figures. We've seen it in comic books and various illustrations where they've tried to sort of merge the Hayden Christensen face with the Sebastian Shaw, that which become very iconic now. The cauliflower, the head of cauliflower. It's like that you see at the end of Return of the Jedi. But the caller is asking, if they went to the trouble of putting Hayden at the end during the Endor celebration as a Force ghost, why not go all the way? Why not put Hayden Christensen's face, over top Sebastian Shaw's and really, make the circle complete? What do you guys think? Why didn't they do that?
Well, for the longest time, the question was, why wasn't David Prowse underneath that helmet? Forget Hayden Christensen. Why wasn't David Prowse under that helmet? And apparently a fan went so far as to recreate that scene and
with Prowse.
Have Prowse in makeup underneath the helmet and everything. But and he released the making of this whole thing as a documentary. Unfortunately, the poor fool went to Lucasfilm for permission to do the documentary after he'd already shot it. And so he couldn't include any of that footage in his documentary. This whole documentary is about shooting this sequence with David Prowse, interviews with David Prowse, everything. They get him in makeup and everything. And then they can't actually show the scene they shot because Lucasfilm said, no way, Jose.
Oh, is it ever leaked?
Is there leaked photos?
Yeah. I'm not aware if it's ever leaked. I don't think it is.
I wonder how that looked.
But these guys should have just put it out there into the universe and, you know, dealt with whatever later. But
now you think they would have had him wearing those big bulky glasses he used to wear?
No, definitely not. Oh, like in the 70s, David. Yeah. In the 70s, David did wear those
Austin Powers style glasses.
Yes, like
Michael Caine used to wear.
Oh, behave.
It could be groovy, right. But wearing the big
those
big
were very groovy.
Mm-hmm. Return of the Jedi is it's a seriously iconic film, and it represents the conclusion of one of the greatest trilogies of all time, and definitely highly revered now and even more so back in the 80s. When George got around to doing the special edition, he didn't remove Sebastian. I don't believe he did. He didn't remove Sebastian from that last sequence. It wasn't until the Blu-ray when Sebastian got replaced with Aiden. And that's fine. That's okay. That's fine. But I think you don't want to take that performance away from Sebastian Shaw. You don't want to, I mean, that would be really, it's a huge moment. And it's just one of those things that it's not just who shot first. This would be replacing an actor in the film completely and erasing his contribution to the film. Sure, you can point at that old lady with the monkey eyes that they use as the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back and say, well, they replaced her. But I mean, that was more of a special effect than it was an actual acting performance. Yes, the voice acting was there, but I just think it would be really awkward and weird to have Anakin deliver all of those. That's one of the biggest moments in the trilogy. We were looking forward to Darth Vader being unhelmeted for the longest time. And then to have the emotional resonance of him being unhelmeted by his son as he dies, it was just like perfect. It was so perfect. I used to envision with my action figures as a kid. I would sit in my room and I'd have the action figures. And I remember one time Luke had in whatever scenario I had, Luke had defeated Vader and Leia was there and she saw, and she's like, well, we gotta look under the mask. And Luke used his saber to flip the mask off of Vader and they both looked and they were disgusted. They just went, and Luke put his arm around Leia and they just walked away into the twin setting suns as Vader laid there dead and the vultures came and started picking away at him.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's how
so
I pictured
awfully
it.
Detailed. That's some dark Morbid. Stuff.
Yes, that's just how it went down with my action figures. One day, summer 1979,
Cronenberg version.
I love that you remember plot lines of your action figure adventures, which I can relate to.
Well, I'm only throwing that out there just to sort of illustrate what it was like during the time of the original trilogy when we were waiting for Vader to be unmasked. And this was before even the idea of him being Luke's father was presented.
Well, we got that tease in Empire, you know, with the back of the head and Piet, you know, waiting. And he's so disturbed by what he's seeing at the scarred.
Yeah, but the plot of my whole situation went down before Empire even. I'm targeting like 78, 70, 79, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Wow.
This is early Jimmy Mac Cannon.
So you had decided that he was a human being under there because there was a lot of speculation and thought
not
that he could be a droid.
Not necessarily. What we knew was that he, according to George Lucas in Rolling Stone, Lucas said that Vader was defeated by Obi-Wan in a volcano, in a volcanic pit, and he fell into the volcano. Mm-hmm. And that's how he became Darth Vader. So I imagine he was all scarred and deformed.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, I don't think I ever thought he was a robot.
No, I never thought
because,
he was a robot.
Yeah, because Ben, you know, I mean, Ben told the story about the, you know, Jedi named Darth Vader. So I just, I assume that is true and, you know, figured Darth Vader was a human. So,
I have to disqualify myself because I came on a little bit later after you guys and knew that Vader wasn't a robot. But when you go back and you read some of the coverage of the theories and the ideas, there were some people that, you know, maybe they didn't read the novelization and they were speculating that he might have been a robot or a droid or something. And you know, there's also, we know that the Vader character became a little bit a larger figure in George's storytelling due to perhaps the popularity. I don't know that George has ever, I don't think George has ever said, oh yeah, you know, people love the character. So, you know, but he left it kind of an ambiguous ending. He wouldn't have had to have picked up Vader in Empire, but he did.
But he also didn't kill Vader in the original, which tells you he understood something about the potential of the character. You know, all of these things, when I think back to those times and everything, I couldn't imagine that scene being reshot with Hayden being revealed. And also keep in mind, Vader is a couple of decades older, advanced in age. So to have a Hayden Christensen in there, even if he is in makeup, I think it would come off as awkward. And Hayden's acting chops in Star Wars, I think, are still yet to emerge.
It does make me wonder, though, if they might have experimented just to see how it might have been looking and maybe decided against it. I don't know if the technology would have been, you know, making young people old people makeup has almost always been bad. Like almost every movie where you see a younger guy made up as an old person, they almost always look terrible, fake. And where was it at when they put Hayden in there? When did that Blu-ray come out? That was like 2010,
2011.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Was it the Blu-ray or was it the Blu-ray DVD that they put out that had Empire of Dreams on it? I think that's when they did it.
That is when they did it. Bill, you're right. It was
earlier DVD release.
The DVD. Yep.
It was the DVD.
The special edition DVD.
No. The DVD was not the same as the special edition. The DVD... the Blu-ray changes were a little bit more, it was the blinking Ewoks.
That was like they added Sebulba. Sebulba was put in the Jabba's.
That was the Blu-ray.
That was the Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray. But you're Hayden, right. The DVD was the first time we saw Palpatine as Palpatine in Empire. Or excuse me, I'm sorry, Ian McDiarmid in Empire.
You guys are absolutely right.
Yeah. And that was when Hayden showed up at the end of Jedi. It was the DVD. Now, our caller says they did a remake.
The 2004 DVD release replaced Shaw's appearance as a Force spirit with Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Wowie, wow, wow. That's a detail that I'm surprised slipped through my fingers. It's been there since 2004.
My first thought when hearing this question was, well, here's what we know potentially about Force ghosts is that they tend to take the form of the last time the Force user was in touch with the light side of the Force. So hence you've got Alec Guinness remaining as the Force ghost visage of Obi-Wan Kenobi. In the case of Hayden Christensen, my own headcanon was that, well, that was the last time he was truly a Jedi. So that is what his Force ghost appears to Luke as. But what you're saying, Jim, I really like, because I think you're right. I mean, Sebastian Shaw was an established British actor of certain esteem. And I, because he has dialogue, because that scene is pretty emotionally impactful, I even George Lucas, who isn't well known for, you know, being a great respecter of actors in some sense, I think he would have been very, he would have had a lot of difficulty replacing that performance. Cause it's not like he's just replacing, like you pointed out, with the Emperor that we see in the original cut of Empire Strikes Back, or the, you know, just standing there smiling at the Ewok celebration. He's actually, he would actually be replacing a real performance by a real actor, which, to my knowledge, he's not done, despite all the changes that have happened in the Star Wars films over the years. A legit performance has not been replaced.
Well, and I you know, I don't know. The thing about him being in the end as an old person with the Jedi robes, I always liked. I was never crazy about the fact that he was replaced to begin with, because it really brought that full circle. It's like, there's a similar effect, actually. Now, I was 11 when Jedi came out. I was obviously a lot younger when the first Star Wars movie came out. But there's a similar effect in the first movie where you see R2-D2 blown up. And they pull him off the X-Wing, and he's like leaking and just completely destroyed. And then the throne room sequence happens, and he looks spanking new, and C-3PO is all polished up. It's this whole idea of like renewal. And having Sebastian Shaw at the end there, you get to see him in an uninjured state, but as an old man, kind of fulfilled as a, you know, he's fulfilled the dream of becoming a full Jedi. And he's healed. You know, he's not going back to his younger self. He's healed what was left of him. Because Luke was right. He was Anakin deep inside. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of Anakin left. And Luke was able to bring that back. So to me, that's always been so satisfying, even as a kid. So I've always been kind of disappointed that they removed that to begin with. And I can't imagine how it would be if they replaced with Hayden. I really wonder if they tried to do it.
Well, it would completely remove Sebastian Shaw from Star Wars.
And it would be this
entirely.
It would be a young actor in old makeup, or, you know, old makeup with the digital effect layered on top of it, trying to give an old person performance with Luke. You know, I don't know. Whole thing is just...
I'm with you, Bill. I love the...
I would reevaluate the whole thing. I mean...
Right. I love the weakness in Sebastian Shaw's voice. You know,
now go, my son.
My son.
He even has like the old man like, shh,
my son, leave me.
You know, I can't imagine Hayden, you know, pulling that. I can't imagine any young actor really pulling that off. It would almost seem like
parody.
Yes.
And I could only imagine, you know, purist fans would lose their mind.
I might lose my mind.
You know what it would be like? Especially after a lot of the derision Hayden's performance in the prequels received. Now, I've joked about Hayden and his acting chops in the prequels and certain sequences and whatever. But as I go back to revisit those films, I find his acting is really pretty good. I think he's a good actor. He sells scenes that I may have looked at as being maybe a little corny back in the day. I look at it maybe in a different light nowadays.
There's an edginess. There's an unusual kind of edginess to his delivery. No, you're totally right. But even at the very least, you could say that those are, you know, his performances in the prequels are their own thing. Whereas I can't remember which one of you guys said it, but it's like a recreation if you put him in the Sebastian Shaw role. And it reminds me of, I was thinking about this the other day, that weird Psycho remake they did, the Gus Van Sant.
Oh, like shot for shot. Yeah.
And you watch that, and it's like, if you're a fan of Psycho, it's like you watch it out of curiosity, but I'm sure most people who've seen that agree with me. It's like you don't accept it as a real deal. It's a recreation of Hitchcock's movie. Mm-hmm. So you want to see Hitchcock's movie. It just, everything is odd about it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right. I mean, I don't fault the filmmaker for trying.
Vaughn?
No.
Do you fault Anne Heche?
I don't fault
Who are you faulting?
I don't fault anybody. They tried it, but it doesn't work. It doesn't. So I give them credit for trying, but thank God that didn't become a thing. That's all I got to say. But yeah, it's just, it feels like a synthetic copy, you know, or something. It's just, it's weird. So that would be my feeling.
Yeah, the thing that has always bothered me though about the end is did they actually shoot Hayden Christensen? I think they did in the robes. Mm-hmm. New, because his expression is odd. Like he's got this thing where he's like kind of looking down and he looks
like
sort of sinister.
It's like a Kubrick stare.
Oh, like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, the Kubrick. It's the the Gomer Pyle stare. Yeah,
and the Sebastian Shaw has this fatherly or grandfatherly look of approval and acceptance and love
loving
for his son.
Yes.
And the Hayden one just looks kind of creepy.
Yeah,
there's a creep factor there. I do like his hair. As a Force Ghost, so it's very well styled.
Yeah, great. Yeah,
that's
it looks like young Dylan Mack's hair, actually. Well, it kind of
that would be some good cosplay for Dylan.
It sure
he would love that. Yeah, I'm gonna have to suggest that. He'd probably be down with it.
But it was hard enough to accept. And I love Hayden Christensen, and I love his performance as Anakin Skywalker. But it was hard enough to accept him at the end, even just as a voiceless apparition. I certainly don't want the erasure of that moment. And Mark Hamill's performance is so good. I'm glad they didn't do it. To answer our caller's question, I think they didn't do it. I think Jim's right. I think it was probably due to George Lucas's respect for the performance of an actor mm-hmm. of the caliber of Sebastian Shaw. In my own headcanon, I sort of justified it by saying, well, that was the last time he was a Jedi and, you know, a true Jedi or what have you. I don't know. I hope they don't do it. But Bill brings up a good point. He's like, you know, they tried. Did they try? Is there test footage?
Well, they took his eyebrows off. What else did they mess
around with? Oh, that's right. They did take the eyebrows off. The eyebrows were
what's that all about?
Pretty ridiculous.
What's the idea? Was that they got burned off?
Yeah, How is he going to have all of his hair burned off, but his eyebrows remain?
Well, I don't know. Impossible. Eyebrows are resilient.
Probably took out the nose hairs too.
if you're an old British dude, you got to have the big bushy eyebrows that goes with the territory. It's like Cesar Romero, you know, on the old Batman show. He didn't shave off the stash. He just put the makeup over it.
The clown white over it.
Right. All right. Well, great question and a lot of fun talking about that Return of the Jedi, as our caller mentioned it. The remake. You know, they did a remake on that. Well, they kind of did.
Remake.
But
many remakes.
For sure. Over the years. Got a few news headlines coming up here now.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right, from one Shaw to another, we're going from Sebastian Shaw to Fiona Shaw, who was on a BBC show talking about Andor, and Jimmy Mack brings us the highlight.
Okay, actress Fiona Shaw, she's an older actor. She is known probably best to nerds as Harry Potter's aunt, as seen in all of the Harry Potter films.
Oh, yes.
That's her. And she won a role on Andor, which we know is being shot in the UK. And she appeared on BBC's The One Show. The One Show. I don't know what she was there to promote, but they did talk to her about Andor. And we got tipped off to this by loyal RFR listener Paul Edwards on Twitter at The Real Paul E. And Paul says, got a feeling that Fiona Shaw has no idea about the Star Wars show she's in.
All right. Oh, boy. One of those.
So he said this. So keep that in mind as you listen to Fiona Shaw on The One Show talking about Andor.
Aunt Petunia in Star Wars. Wow.
It's an Andor series, and it's about people called Andor, of which I am one. And the main part, of course, is that marvelous Mexican actor. And he plays the hero who runs around as Diego La Luna. And he has adventures in space. It's set well before the Star Wars series, so it's a prequel to Star Wars.
That wonderful Mexican actor who runs around as Diego Luna. I think she's claiming that Diego Luna is the character.
Is the character. And she's bless her heart. Andor. Okay, so here's Fiona Shaw's breakdown of of what's going on in the Star Wars streaming series that's going to debut next year. According to her, the show is called Andor because there are people called Andor in the show, and she is one of them. So maybe she's an Andor family member.
I was thinking, like, is she Mama Andor?
Or she thinks she's among a tribe of Andors. I don't know what she's saying. But the young Mexican actor plays a character named Diego Luna, and he has adventures in space. It's a prequel to Star Wars. So she gave us that lowdown on the show. So I also get the feeling that Fiona Shaw has no idea what she's talking about. Now, we could, we're double.
She is a muggle, after all.
We yeah, right on.
Mud blood.
But we are playing devil's advocate here in assuming she's getting everything wrong. But in reality, when she says she is an Andor, she could be a family member. And when she says Mexican actor and then she recovers and says Diego Luna, I think maybe she threw that in there because it suddenly the name popped back into her head. Right. And he has adventures in space. Because isn't that what Star Wars is all about? Yes, adventures in space. Of course, you can't go wrong with that answer. What was it that Joel Edgerton said about the Kenobi series that he really doesn't know what's going on? He says he knows as much as anyone else.
Yeah, that's right. I know. Yeah,
I think he's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. You know, at least he didn't fumble around trying to come up with some sort of answer to the question about the show. He just says, I know as much as you guys do. I don't know anything. And I think that's the layer of secrecy that goes on with Star Wars productions where these people really only get their lines. They don't even get the context within how the dialogue is being.
They call it their sides. News. They're just getting their sides.
Right. We just got our sides. You mean you got the words you're supposed to say? Your sides? You mean your words? Well, I'll tell you what. Words. Good for you. You got your dialogue. Yeah, well, I just got my words. Sides does sound better than words, but at least words makes more sense. The thing is, though, is that, they go on to the set. They just are excited to be in Star Wars. It's maybe an okay payday, and they go in with the knowledge of knowing that during the downtime when they're between gigs or pilot season isn't happening, they can go to conventions and make a few thousand bucks on the weekend if they just land one juicy Star Wars role. Mm-hmm. So they go into these productions without any of the normal pomp and circumstance an actor gets when he takes on a role. A lot of times actors will look at the entire script to understand the story and judge it on how they think the production is going to be received by the public and how much money it's going to make at the box office, all these things. None of that comes into play with Star Wars. You show up on the set, they put you in your wardrobe. You have an idea of who your character is and what the character's doing. You stand there, you say your sides, you say your words, and the doctor,
The doctor comes in, blindfolds you, puts you in a van.
Dr. Evazan comes in,
ties you up.
He doesn't like you. I don't like you either. No, no, not the doctor, the director.
Right.
Jimmy's mouth is in working as fast as his words want them to work. My sides.
You need your
to be
words
delivered with more accuracy. But no, the director then tells them how to portray their character when they get on set. They tell them everything they need to know.
Right.
And so I think Fiona Shaw showed up on the set a few times and went through that exact process. Where are we? Somewhere in space. Don't worry about it. Now, here's what your character needs to know.
Yeah.
Your character is with Andor and all the Andors.
He's like the Mexican guy. See the Mexican guy down there? Yeah, that's him.
You're like a member of their family, okay? So I'm an Andor. Don't even talk right now. Just listen to what you're saying. Tony Gilroy's standing there. He's got a bull whip. Getting all of his actors into shape. But she's just being really cagey. She knows if she says anything, she could be in big trouble. And she's
just trying to
be polite. There's not really much to take out of that, but I just thought it was so funny that Paul passed that along to us saying, got a feeling she has no idea about the Star Wars show
she's going with it. You know, she reminds me of Carolyn Blackston from...
I was thinking the same
thing. You
know,
she had the same kind of... She's just going with it, you know? It's like a moon. I'm like a mother of the moon. I'm a moon mother. That's what what George told me. We call him George. Those who've worked with him, we moon mother. That's what...
I call George Sun Daddy.
And it's she didn't say that.
No, but he did say at one point.
She said the moon looked like a plate. I remember that.
It's like the real moon, you know, it's flat like a plate.
Like a plate. It just sounds so regal, because of the accent.
This is how dumb
we are. And then you go back and listen to it, and you're like, wait, what?
Well, you've heard of the Flat Earth Society.
She's not
a flat earther. She's a flat mooner.
Flat moon. That was really unusual that she said that.
She's
very nice. But
she's a very nice lady.
If
anyone hasn't heard this interview, Jason and I did, with Carolyn Blackiston, who played Mon Mothma in Return of the Jedi. You can check it out on our YouTube channel. Just look for Mon Mothma Moon Mother, and you'll hear highlights of that interview there. I don't think I've re-released the entire interview. I've talked to her a couple times now.
This is something that's kind of interesting. I mean, you've heard of these droid builders that get so good at doing what they do that Lucasfilm goes, hey, why don't we just hire these guys? I mean, who needs Don Beese? Mm-hmm. Oh, when we can get these guys, they're even better. You know, George has gone through the droid builders room at conventions and said, hey, these are better than what we have on the set, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you guys remember, it wasn't long after the finale of season 2 of The Mandalorian, the rescue episode, when, that amazing comeback of Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, we're just blown away. We're like, oh my God, it doesn't get better than this as a Star Wars fan. And then all of a sudden, a YouTuber that goes by the name of Shamook, he posted his own version. He did a deep fake version using some off-the-shelf software. And I'm going to play a little bit of this. There's a side-by-side comparison of his version. So here you got Luke. He's taken the cloak, the hood off. And on the left, we see the original. This was what the guys at ILM did. And then on the right is what Shamook did. And
there's more of a clarity to his work. There's more definition in his work.
Come, little one.
And more accuracy as far as replicating the look of Mark Hamill in Return of the Jedi. Definitely.
He wants your permission.
You can see it. It's even the hue of his eyes. There's actually more blue and gray in Luke's eyes.
I will give my life to protect.
I think you're absolutely right. You say there's more definition. There's just it just looks more real. It looks more human. But what's really interesting about all this is that Shamook disappeared from YouTube for a while, and people were wondering, well, what, where is he? Why isn't he doing more videos? Well, it turns out he announced on his YouTube channel, or on social media, that he has been hired by Lucasfilm. He says, as some of you already may know, I joined Lucasfilm a few months ago and haven't had time to work on any new YouTube content. Now I've settled into my job, and to upload should start increasing again. Enjoy. So there were a lot of people, I mean, that once this came out and then they saw this version, they're like, well, how can this guy in his basement or wherever it is do better than the wizards at ILM? And so a lot of people were scratching their heads. Well, ILM noticed, they saw what this guy was able to do. And it's not just, he didn't just do this with Mark Hamill and Mandalorian. He's done it with Robert Pattinson and Batman and other deep fake videos.
Harrison Ford in Solo, which I
thought, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So he's done that stuff. So Lucasfilm, to their credit, they looked at this guy and said, hey, let's snatch him up. He can do that stuff for us. Yeah. What it's caused, though, fellas, is a lot of speculation that Luke may play a fairly sizable role in Mandalorian season 3. Why else would they get this deep faker in there? So I just wanted to throw that out to you. Do you think that that at all points to more Luke in season 3?
Well, it definitely could. But also keep in mind, Lucasfilm has that Indiana Jones film in production right now, and we know that that's going to feature deep fake Harrison Ford as a younger Indy fighting Nazis circa 1945
that's or whatever. Right.
So there's definitely going to be a de-aged Harrison Ford running around in the next Indiana Jones film. So they could be utilizing him for that.
More Tarkin and Andor.
Tarkin and Andor. That could be Billy. Good one. Maybe more Leia in Andor.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Silence. Yeah. Should they go there?
Yeah. I think that's what the awkward silence was all about.
Well, but it's you're absolutely right to point out that just because you got hired by Lucasfilm doesn't mean you're working on The Mandalorian. There's a lot of projects. And a lot of projects that are going to be using this type of technology. But I was excited when I saw it. I really was. I mean, on the one hand, yes, I'm excited. I love when any fan gets plucked out of, you know, obscurity and gets, you know, brought in to work on the real thing. And then at the same time, I also love the fact that they're embracing this potentially this deep fake technology, which really gives us an awesome experience as fans to see these iconic faces back in these iconic roles.
Yeah, I wonder how far away we are from a realistically animated feature that has the big three, Han, Luke, and Leia, in adventures happening shortly after the events of Return of the Jedi or during the time period of the original trilogy even. You know, the bounty hunter on Ord Mantell or something like that. Mandel, right? It's not Mantel. Mantel. It's Mantel.
It is Mantel. Like Mantel Williams, the old talk show.
The Bad Batch goes there like every week, and I still say Mandel. I know two guys with the last name Mandel. So shout out to those guys. But Mantel. So, I mean, they could do, you know, an animated feature about that and make it kick ass. Just a standalone. Animated with realistic CGI. Deep fake technology, bringing you the original cast and crew from the original trilogy, or go all the way, have new actors in there with the deep fake technology over them.
Between the deep fake technology and the voice technology that we demonstrated, we had video of these guys out in Europe that created this thing. You could have a movie starring any deceased actor. I mean, we talked about this at length when Rogue One came out, and we talked about some of the, you know, maybe the moral implications of this and that sort of thing. But I mean, why not? As long as I think, as long as the performer's family or estate is involved, I could see actors performers having that in their final arrangements, what's going to happen with their image and their voice and all of that, you know, after they pass on. Incredible to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people might be signing contracts with studios like Paramount. You can have the rights to my image for the next 100 years after I'm dead.
Right.
You have to just, you know, pay my estate and they will distribute the funds to my family members appropriately. Oh. Stuff like that could happen. Or I mean, my estate has to sign off on it too.
Imagine a movie about Count Dooku. You know, we talked about, and you could have, you know, there's enough footage of Christopher Lee throughout the years. You could do all phases of his life. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh, shoot, man. I'm thinking, like, when are we going to get new episodes of Sanford and Son?
Oh, Red Fox.
Oh, man.
That could be coming, guys.
That's flying too close to the sun, okay, Icarus? You're going to burst into flames when you...
Shut up, dummy.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, so there's this new series on Disney Plus, Behind the Attraction. And Jim, you alerted us to this last week. You said, hey, guys, take a look at this. There's this new show, and they're doing the sort of behind the scenes, the making of these iconic rides and attractions at Disney parks, and they're doing one on Star Tours. And I mean, I don't think there's ever really been a documentary about the creation of Star Tours. Does this kind of fulfill that wish?
I think the first two thirds of the documentary do, and then it goes into a big plug for Galaxy's Edge. And I wish they would have just stuck with Star Tours a little more and really went a little more in depth into the updates, the different scenes that were dropped in after the original Star Tours ran its 1.0 run. I mean, then that was a number of decades.
Do we get to see Beardless George at all?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Okay, I'm hoping.
I've seen pictures of him without the beard, but I don't think I've seen footage of him without the beard.
I mean, how?
Who does he look like? I was trying to figure out. He does look like somebody.
Baba Booey.
No.
Yeah, he does. He looks like Gary Delabate from The Stern Show.
Nah, he looks just like him. He looks a lot better than Baba Booey. He doesn't look like Baba Booey.
All right, so, but he does look like somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking with Baba Booey. Okay. But George was going through a really, like, a colorful stage in the late 80s where, I mean, he was wearing these wild coats and ties and He was really that was like the was most the fashionable
Linda
George.
Is this the Linda Ronstadt years? Is that what
in the late 80s? I think you're right.
Yeah. The
that might have been the influence of.
Yeah, you may be right. But there, Jason just put up a picture, and this is what George looks like in the documentary, the Behind the Attraction documentary. He's beardless. It looks like he is already letting the mustache grow back in, though.
Oh,
what
yeah.
have I done?
we need clean shaven, beardless George Lucas.
That's something you could CGI.
He looks so different. It's almost weird to hear that voice coming out of him.
Yeah, yeah. He looks good too. He looks like the best I've probably ever seen him. And he's on this documentary. And a lot of the Imagineers are represented, including Tony Baxter, who once appeared on our show and gave us some real dirt about Star Tours and everything else. Here's a clip of Tony Baxter telling us what it was like to get into George Lucas's inner sanctum.
He said, oh, why don't you come on into my other room and I'll show you all my stuff. And he had in this room, there were his comic books and some little toy car models. And then he took me over to his drafting board where he was drawing up the recording studio, the Vineyard recording studio they have up there. And it was for that 1 hour, it was like, wow, we could be friends. You know, it was like one of those like moments where you go, if I could get to that stage, then you could start saying, well, here's an idea. Or like, what have you thought about this? Or anything. But,
You can find that on our YouTube channel as well if you want to fish up that interview and hear what Tony Baxter had to say about working with George Lucas on that original Star Tours. But they have Tony. He's featured in this documentary. George is featured in this documentary. And here's a little highlight I pulled about some of the ideas that George was throwing at the Imagineer crew when they were revamping Star Tours for Star Tours 2.0. And George came in with these ideas.
George Lucas wanted us to have water spray into the cabin.
After considering George's request, the Imagineers said,
no.
That one we cannot do because water over time will cause rust, will cause corrosion.
But don't worry, George had other ideas too.
George wanted us to have a spy in the audience. What if actually we could take a picture of someone in the cabin and put it up on the screen and really let a guest see themselves as a rebel spy?
Which they said yes to that.
Uh-huh.
And that's a feature that still is in Star Tours. Now, Jason's looking a little confused because he hasn't been on the new Star Tours yet.
Not the new one, no.
I haven't either.
No. But I did take Jason on the original Star Tours, and I think it turned your brains into scrambled eggs. And
yeah, you know, it was a different me back then. I love to, I can't wait to have the opportunity to ride, you know, the Falcon at Galaxy's Edge and do some of these things, because I had a deathly fear of flying before, and when I was younger, and I closed my eyes during much of Star Tours, the original.
I noticed
the last ride at Endor.
Since that time, though, I mean, I understand how that could do that to you. There's been some rides I've gone on since, especially at Universal Park. Their Simpsons ride is in a simulator like Star Tours, but it's Simpsons Insanity. And it's almost too insane. It's almost too insane.
What did you guys think of the footage of what the simulator actually looks like from the outside? I was kind of surprised at that. I'm not sure what I envisioned, but it's like that huge cabin perched on top of these various hydraulics.
Well, it makes me feel very vulnerable.
But they're sticks, and it looks so strange. Like, you know, maybe if they had a skirt around it or something, it would look a little bit better to me. But, like, I'm looking at that thing going, like, God, think about how many people are in that cabin, and you got these sticks kind of moving it around. And I don't know. I didn't know that that's what it looked like. It was very unusual looking to me. I was surprised that that was what's behind the ride, you know.
I don't want to think about that. I'm actually on the ride itself.
Oh.
And so George actually came up with the idea of the spy, which is when you're sitting there, they take a picture of someone sitting in the chairs, and then C-3PO comes and talks and says, oh, there's a spy in our midst and everything. And then they show the picture of the spy up on the screen. So you always want to be the spy. You're like, I have like a 1 in 30 chance or however.
Have you ever been the spy? You've ridden the ride quite a few times.
I was the spy once.
Were you?
I was the spy. Yeah, yeah. And we were there with a group of RFR listeners, Kevin Lyle, myself, Steve Glosson, my family, and a whole group of Florida Star Wars fans. Uh-huh. We packed the Star Tours, and I think somebody might have whispered into a cast member's ear to be sure to turn the camera on me. Yeah, I have that feeling.
Was this the old ride still?
This was the newer one. Yeah, this is the newer one. And but that was great. That was great. And I got a picture of it and everything. So it was really cool.
I was trying to figure out. I'm looking at this, you know, picture of young beardless George and sporting this blue dress shirt. And then there's this recent picture of George in Chicago. And I'm wondering, is this the same shirt possibly? This is George outside. Now, this thing, what is this? Is this a Picasso exhibit? What's the big exhibit?
Oh, this is the immersive Van Gogh exhibit, which is on tour in various cities in Chicago. And George was in town. This is the first George Lucas sighting in Chicago in quite a while. He was a regular about town when he was trying to get that museum built. But since he lost that, thanks to special interest groups who don't care about anything except for themselves, they sent George packing out of town. But he does maintain a residency here in the city.
Well, his wife is from yeah. Chicago, and Melody, I'm sure she is has from family Chicago. Here or there.
Oh yeah, and so they live here part time still. But he's been maintaining a relatively low profile up until this big Van Gogh moment, and he took a picture for the staff working there, and they posted this on their social media.
Wait!
Yeah,
you're saying that this was an orchestrated photo that we're looking at here, like.
Absolutely.
Hey, Mr. Yes. Lucas, can we take your photo? We would love to. This would be great promotion for the exhibit. He's not even looking at the camera. First of all, he needs to visit his local Untuckit shop because, like, look at this shirt. He's obviously not interested in tucking his shirt in. It's practically down to his little knobby knees. This photo doesn't show the he's wearing shorts.
It's a dress shirt.
Bless his heart. And he's got his iPhone in his front. You know, breast pocket of the dress shirt. This is hard to watch. This is
make fun of me, Swank. You know, that's an iPhone 15. Nobody has them. The technology hasn't even been invented for it yet. I got one, you punk. Make fun of me for having my shirt untucked, you little bastard. All right, hey,
yes.
But George, you know those shirts. He doesn't wash them. He just buys them and then throws them away and then buys a new one. He doesn't wash his clothes. You can still see the
folds. It's like a box of Kleenex. He just pulls one out, and the other one sort of pops up, and it's ready for the next wearing.
Yeah. Don't take the pins out. He leaves the pins in.
All right, so
even the little cardboard collar is still in the shirt as he's wearing it.
So RFR listeners want to know, is Behind the Attraction Star Tours, is it worth their time? Should they watch it?
I thought it was enjoyable. I there was some hangups I have with just the rapid fire Disney production of it all, because they have a lot of great archival footage, interviews with George and everything. But really, you'd be hard pressed to find any clip of these guys actually completing a full sentence before the narrator jumps in. It's this really rapid fire, a little dumbed down Disney approach, the way Disney goes about approaching almost anything. It's just like caffeinated and surface value.
But you know what? The style I thought was very similar to The Toys That Made Us. I enjoyed it, but like halfway through, I definitely would notice this editing technique
and that
starting
music
to make note of it. Yes, and the Mickey Mouse music, you know.
And
like, you know, I was thinking about like the old Making of Star Wars documentary narrated by Robert Conrad and how somber it is. I mean, you've got a little comic stuff in there with R2 and 3PO, but this thing was like Dennis Muren. They're like, what? Dennis Muren? Well, you know who he is? Well, he just won 9 Oscars. That's who he is. And they're showing all this information. If that was in, and the music's playing. And if that was in the old documentary, it would have been like 9-time Oscar winner Dennis Muren explains. That would have been it.
Right.
And they would have let him talk for like 3 minutes straight, you know. And
right. It would have been delivered with all this gravitas. Yeah. Almost like
I miss that, man. I miss that, you know, because that made it seem so important, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't as important as I thought it was, but I bought into it, man. That was all part of it for me.
Hey, as we, as you may have heard at the top of the show, this week's episode is brought to you by you. You, if you're a member of the Rebel Force Radio Patreon supporters. So thank you so much. We just so appreciate what you do for us and ensuring the longevity of this show and our operation here at Rebel Force Radio. But Jim, we've had a bit of a contest going on. Patreon members, and they did it. We got over the top.
Yes, we did have a goal of 1,000 Patreon supporters, and thanks to you guys, we exceeded that before the month is even over. I say thanks to you guys, but I think thanks to this guy, Vero the Hut, because everybody wants a piece of me. Yeah. And I'm saying that because you can win a hand-sculpted, hand-painted Zero the Hutt. It's in 3¾-inch action figure scale. It's not articulated, but it's a beautiful piece that would look great in any collection on any desk. It was created by an RFR listener, a dude we call Mr. Zero.
Hey, that's my name.
And he gave these as gifts to me and Jason years ago. These are works of art. And he gave them as gifts to us at Star Wars Celebration 2017. Reached out to me recently. Said RFR has been helping him through a lot of hard times, and he wanted to show his appreciation for our show and all of our listeners. And so he gave me a third Zero of the Hutt to give away to a member of our Patreon audience. And the way you can become eligible to win this Zero of the Hutt, which will be given away via random drawing on next week's show, is you need to join us on Patreon. Look for the post that says Zero of the Hutt needs a home, and put as a comment on the post, I want to party with Zero the Hutt. This can only be done on our Patreon page, not on our Facebook page, not on our Twitter, nowhere else, not on Insta, and not by sending us an email or anything. You have to be a member of RFR on Patreon, patreon.com/RebelForceRadio. And it doesn't matter what tier you're in, but you will be able to become eligible to win this. You'll be entered into a random drawing. So please, one post comment per patron. And congratulations to our 1,000th patron, a guy named Cannibal Rob, or Cannibal Bob, I can't remember. Rob or Bob, he's going to be entered 5 times to win. He's going to be the only one who's going to get multiple entries to win this Zero the Hutt. And thank you, everyone, for supporting us on Patreon. It's just great. And thank you, Zero, too, very much, because you certainly are a popular dude. Indeed. Everyone wants a piece of you.
And that's 3 3/4 scale, right?
Oh, that's what I said.
Beautifully.
I'll hang out with an action figure, like Snooty. Do you have Snooty? I would like to spend some time with Snooty.
You know, they never made a Clone Wars animated style size noodles, which is a real shame.
And they never made a Zero the Hutt either.
No, they didn't. Nope.
So
they made a Jabba in that. And you know, they never made a Marlo the Hutt.
No, they didn't. The Marlon Brando Hutt. No, they didn't. Yeah. But there he is. So the your chance to become eligible to win will end on August 1st. That's when I'll turn off the comments on the post, probably right at midnight. So Saturday turns into Sunday, Central Time. That's when we'll shut off all of the comments. And then I'll count them up, and we'll assign numbers to each entry. And then we'll pick a number, and the corresponding name will win
Zero the Hutt.
Yeah. And all kind of cool things are happening over on Patreon. We got the RFR Q&A, which is a cool discussion I had with RFR VIP Sean Wanty about Luke Skywalker, pacifist. Where does Luke's story go following Return of the Jedi? We know a little bit from what we saw of him in The Mandalorian, but really not that much. And then we catch up with him in The Last Jedi and learn, oh, a lot has changed with Luke. Well, where does his story go after all that? So we talk about this. Does Luke follow the path of a warrior, or is he more of a peaceful monk as he tries to rebuild the Jedi Order? So that's a fun conversation. Plus early bird releases of the weekly show. And you also have access to full show video if you're a member of RFR All Access. But just only costs a buck to get your foot in the door. That's how you become eligible to win the Zero of the Hutt, is just by being a member of RFR on Patreon. You get early bird show releases every week and all kind of other perks too. Babu Freaks are, like I said, with Bobblehead Freaks. You have to be a member of the RFR Comlink tier to get that episode. And also visit the RFR store if you're a fan of the Babu Freaks. We just released a whole slew of new Babu Freaks merch. So that's available now. Shirts, caps, mugs, and proceeds go to the Freaks. So freaky proceeds. And we have a fun show. And also full show video of the Babu Freaks is available to RFR All Access members too. So, I mean, there's just so much going on. We have so much fun with RFR on Patreon. People say that we're relentless. with the amount of content we release on that platform. And I would say absolutely we are relentless, but I think there's more. There's still more we can put out there. And we're doing it every week.
A onesie, Babu Freaks onesie. I mean, where else
you get a Babu Freaks one? Get a onesie. Get a Hey Hey Babu Freaks
onesie.
And of course, then the RFR, the classic RFR logo designed by Paul Bateman, is also available. The iconic RFR logo. And that's available for all kind of things, from phone cases to coffee mugs, T-shirts, hoodies, hats, and the aforementioned onesies. You can get the RFR logo white on black, white on blue, black on white. We have so many different options now. Sweatshirt cinch bags.
I like those cinch bags. Those come in handy.
Those are great.
You got some tie-dye, I hear.
We have tie-dye. We have pajamas. We have iPhone cases. We have water bottles. We have everything in the RFR store. So go check it out. We're working on deluxe gear as well.
Yep. Some premium, premium items.
Yeah, premium. Yeah. Thank you. That's the word I was fishing for. You know, higher end things. But, you know, what we have in the store right now is a lot of fun, and it's the best way we can get RFR to you guys, so you can say it loud and say it proud.
And if there's something RFR that we're missing, I mean, we'd love to hear your comments, so please show it at rebelforceradio.com. Let us know. Say, hey, I've been dying for a Rebel Force Radio whatever, and we'll see if we can get that going on for you.
Rebel Force Radio.
You've already made that Star Wars reference.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars parody!
All right, in a first in Star Wars in pop culture, we have a sea shanty. And I'm a fan of a good sea shanty. I love pirate movies. I love all things nautical. I really do. I love sea shanties. There's actually an album that was put together called Rogue's Gallery, Pirate Ballad, Sea Songs, and Shanties. I love this record. It's got guys like Loudon Wainwright III and various others that have recorded these sea shanties. So it's a real thing. But let's talk about Star Wars. What kind of Star Wars sea shanty do we have?
Well, sea shanties and social media really took off during the early days of the pandemic. When we were all locked down and people were going crazy looking for something to do. And so guys started creating sea shanties for TikTok. It really became a thing. And so I think this guy, his name is Rowan. He has a YouTube channel. I don't know if he's on the TikTok as well, but his name's Rowan the Bard. And he's created a series of Star Wars sea shanties. Star Wars sea shanty. Say that seven times real fast.
Get in trouble if you say it wrong.
He's trying it right now. There you go. All right. Yeah. Everyone just pause. I didn't think everyone was so suggestive. Okay. But okay. Rowan the Bard, YouTube, Star Wars sea shanties. Here's his Star Wars shanty about Hondo Onaka. Check it out.
There once was a man come from Shreelure.
Say now, did he really?
Was a handsome pirate, that's for sure.
All of that's a lie. Hondo Onaka, Hondo Onaka, Hondo Onaka, all of that's a lie.
He bought a ranch on Dathomir.
Say now, did he really?
Where he rides rancors with no fear.
All of that's a lie.
And then he took a trip to Tatooine.
Say now, did he really?
When the Sarlacc fell right into him.
All of that's a lie. Hondo Onaka, Hondo Onaka, Hondo Onaka, all of that's a lie.
He ruled the Gungans on Naboo.
Say now, did he really?
He said, Misa, now the boss of you.
All of that's a lie.
He smuggled with the Falcon.
Say now, did he really?
And his guests did all the work for him.
All of that's a lie. Hondo Onaka, Hondo Onaka, Hondo Onaka. That's a lie.
Love it. Wow. Rowan. Holy cow. Awesome. That's awesome. Rowan the Bard.
He's doing all the vocal parts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He some tight harmonies there.
Yeah.
From Rowan. Real tight harmonies. Like I said, I love a good sea shanty. I mean, well, how else you going to pass the time away in between pillaging and plundering and all the other things that you do as a scurvy pirate? That's
now,
cool.
When's the Star Wars Yacht Rock coming?
Yacht Rock. Well, it's funny you bring that up because Samuel Jackson, he's been chilling this summer, and he bought himself a yacht with the millions that guy's got in the
bank. Just his Star Wars money.
But so he's been hanging out on this yacht, and he's been doing some funny updates on social media, like Instagram. Hashtag yacht you talking about, Willis? That's what is it?
Yacht you
talking about, Willis. And then you could see Samuel Jackson's yacht adventure updates. Or what does he say? Yakety yacht?
Don't talk,
man. Yeah, that's another one.
Okay, yeah. All right.
That one works.
I'm getting it now. I didn't get it at first.
Yacht you talking about, Willis. I like that one, though. That's clever. I mean, that to me is pure Sam Jackson. So he's out there on his yacht. So probably listening to Yacht Rock. I don't know if he's listening to sea shanties at all, but Swank would be if he had a yacht.
I would be. Well, that's very cool. So talented guy, Rowan the Bard. That's awesome. We got something else too. Here's a show that I got to confess I've never watched before. Though I am a big fan of Mark Harmon from NCIS. Apparently there was a Star Wars reference on a recent episode of NCIS.
Yes. Yes. Loyal RFR listener David Grayson reached out to us on Facebook and he says, I want to tell you that NCIS season 18, oh my God, 18, episode 8, True Believe, like you, Swank, this thing's been on 18 years. I've never seen an episode of it either.
How does a show that I've never seen last for 18 years?
I know. I mean, you think we would have seen it accidentally once or something, in 18 years.
I think I was under the impression that and CSI were the same show.
That's still on the air, too.
Yeah.
Probably 18 years for that one.
It's really amazing. When I said I'm a fan of Mark Harmon, I loved him in Summer School. Great movie.
St. Elsewhere. That goes way back. Right. He was on St. Elsewhere.
I mean, he did like 12 seasons of that and then went right into this show, apparently. 18 years? That seems unbelievable, but crazy. 18 seasons. Whatever.
So David tells us that NCIS, the episode True Believer, has a Star Wars reference. They're trying to catch a criminal, and Palmer says it's the lady pushing the stroller because she's not looking at the baby. So that's how they were tipped off. Mm. They figure, that's got to be a front for this person because usually when moms push babies, they stare at the baby a lot. Yeah. Okay, so here's when the Star Wars reference happens.
Uh-huh. And not for nothing, but I think I have eyes on our hacktivist. Check out the mom pushing the stroller.
No way. Brings a baby to an intel drop.
Who walks a baby without a diaper bag? Plus, that mom hasn't looked down in her stroller once.
So?
So if you're pushing around the cutest living organism on planet Earth, wouldn't you stare at it every chance you got?
Mm-hmm, like Baby Yoda.
Now you're getting it.
Oh, wait a minute. Not only is it a Star Wars reference, it's a Baby Yoda reference. I don't know. I mean, we used to be impressed when the Baby Yoda references would fly and because of the timeliness of it. But now, I don't know. I feel like it's low-hanging fruit these days, Baby Yoda.
Oh, I don't know. At least they're not saying
Grogu.
Yeah. Now you're getting it. I don't think it would really work. I mean, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it does not work.
No. And I got to, I don't often do this, but I got to pat us on the back because I love the fact that we've held steadfast with the Baby Yoda and not give it into to the Grogu. I mean, there are moments when you're going to reference him maybe as Grogu, but no, he's Baby Yoda.
It's like Hog Squaddle. Right. We came up with the name first and it was better.
Right.
And so we're sticking with it.
Hey. All of that's a lie.
Oh.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars parody.
The year 1961, the album Let's Misbehave, the artist Billy D. Williams, a full 16 years before, or longer than that, 18 years before he would play the role of Lando Calrissian in The Empire Strikes Back. He took his turn as a songsmith, And Jim, this is something that we brought to our podcast listeners a long time ago. It was something that I didn't even know existed. And when did you first come into to the know that this album existed? Billy Dee Williams singing some great standards in the title track, Let's Misbehave, from Broadway.
Well, I think this all goes back to the Billy Dee quote of the week, which was a recurring segment on our podcast. And I had to come up with material to fill that segment every week. And it went on for 6 years, uninterrupted. Billy Dee Williams quotes of the week for 6 years. And
what a run.
I'm pretty proud of that. I think it even went on longer than that. I discovered that he did do this album, and it was really hard to find back in the mid-2000s when I was looking for it. So I had to go to the collector's market and actually procure, that's the word I'm looking for, mm-hmm. procure
a copy of vinyl.
That's around here somewhere. I don't know where it
was.
Actually.
It was only released on vinyl up until the year 2014.
That's
and
right.
In 2014, there was a CD released over in Europe. So you can probably get that as an import, but yeah, so this has only been actually released to the public officially, twice. One first in 1961, the original vinyl, and then in, Europe on CD in 2014, but,
you can find it now streaming and,
is it on the streaming channels? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are, it is available digitally now,
mm-hmm.
but,
thank goodness.
Oh my God. I mean, this is such a treasure. There are a few notable things about this album, but it's basically Billy Dee singing a lot of swing standards and show tunes, like stuff Jason likes. Some Lounge Lizard material going on in there as well.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it would be nice to go back and revisit this album. It's been so long since I've heard it. And I thought it would be idea. Both you and me, Jason, I think we brainstormed this together. Well, if we're going to look back at Billy Dee's album, Let's Misbehave, from 1961, it only makes sense that we have with us an expert in this department, Puppet Lando himself.
Wow.
Puppet, there he is.
Puppet Lando.
Puppet joining us there.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, let's zoom in on him. Hey, Puppet Lando, how you doing?
How you doing, everybody? Oh, it's been a long time since I've been here.
Yes, it has.
Can you believe that it's been 50 years since the release of this album by Billy Dee Williams?
Oh, you know, it's a source of amusement for me these days. You know, people bring it up, and I was only, 23 years old. You know, they wanted me to be kind of a lounge singer type. They thought they'd try it out. I was mostly doing work on the stage, and I really thought about pursuing music this way for about 2 seconds.
Oh, well, it was a great short. 2 seconds.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was a great 2 seconds, though. This is a really strong album, and so I thought we'd just go through it track by track, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Puppet Lando.
Sure, I got a few minutes.
All right, we're gonna kick things off with the first track, "A Taste of Honey." Again, a great standard from the Great American Songbook, right here.
A taste of honey, a taste much sweeter than wine.
Big hit for Tony Bennett. He's got nothing on you.
This was from my play. They wrote this song for me. And, I beat the Beatles on this.
That's right. The Beatles did this.
That's
right. But that was a couple of years after you.
Well, I think it was Jimmy Mag. I think John was the one who called me and asked me for his blessing.
Oh, John Lennon himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, hey, listen, you know, they were the Fab Four, but they couldn't compete with the smooth and charming number one.
Oh, yeah, you are number one in our
So they call me for advice. And you know, by the way, we all know what the honey is, right, fellas?
Wow, Puppet Lando, strong out of the gate. But that is a song that was written for a play that Billy Dee was in called Taste of Honey, and that was obviously the title track, and Billy Dee would sing it on stage, and that's when they decided to bring him into the studio, I think, is really that track was what started off the entire musical career for Billy Dee. Right, Puppet Lando?
Yeah, that was the beginning of history.
The beginning of history.
Well, it was a kind of history. We're still living it.
And thank God for that. You look great at your age. I just marvel at how wonderful you look, and you still carry yourself well there. And
you don't even see the stitches or any of the seam lines. It's amazing. You're seamless.
Well, I've been working out with Gunner.
Oh, Gunner's still, he's still training you, huh? Gunner's still riding that gravy train, isn't he? Yeah, okay, good for Gunner.
Gunner's helping me with the guns.
All right, so we have our next track, Jason.
This is the title track, Let's Misbehave. Let's misbehave and listen to a little bit of this.
They say that bears have love affairs and even camels. We're merely mammals. Oh, come on now, baby, let's misbehave.
Really? Let's misbehave.
Oh, well, a little in-studio performance.
I still got a little bit of it.
You still got it. You sound great.
Oh, you know, it's funny. Back in those days, we couldn't come out with all that filthy talk, so we had to put things a little more eloquently. We might say, hey, you know, I'd like to get to know you. Or maybe, hello, what have we here? You know, it was more up to the imagination and
right.
Charm.
You were a little more subtle. You didn't just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's misbehave, you know. And we know what that means, don't we, fellas?
Let's misbehave and find some honey. I think that's what it is, that taste of honey.
I think are you recognizing a theme here, Jason?
I think so.
Okay, what's the next one?
All right, next track, Don't Cry. Oh, honey, please don't be that way.
Get out from under that old sky and don't cry. Don't cry.
So, Puppet Lando, were you singing that to yourself after you watched Donald Glover butcher your character in the Solo film?
No, he did some extraordinary things.
He was good. I liked him. I'm just joking.
But, of course, he's not as charming as...
Not even close. Nowhere near as close.
Now, in this song, you know, Don't Cry, of course, this is sometimes what happens after we misbehave. So it makes a lot of sense...
Right.
But this is the next song.
So Puppet, can this be considered 1961's Let's Misbehave LP? Can this be considered a concept album?
Well, we're making it into one, Jimmy Mac. I'm not sure.
There is
I don't know if that was the intent, but you know.
There is something conceptual going on here.
Puppet, were you actually the one that was choosing the songs, or did they just kind of put these songs in front of you and say, run with it?
Yeah. Well, they were all part of a canon of songs that were being written in New York and being sold around and being used on Broadway and what have you. So I was kind of in that whole world there at the time.
You had your finger on the pulse there. New York
absolutely.
Song and stage scene. I like that. I wouldn't think it could exist without Puppet Lando there down on Broadway and running around Times Square and looking for his next big gig or his next big song, which is what is that, Jason?
Life's a Holiday. So we're on track four here. So we've heard him cry. Now he's coming out of those doldrums and Life's a Holiday.
All the world shines bright as May when you give your heart away. When you're in love, the world's okay. And life's a holiday.
Oh, let's go on an adventure, shall we? Life, you know, life, love is a holiday.
Yeah.
It's the maybe this is the best kind of life day.
Oh, wow. It's doing it Kashyyyk style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although let's, I want to leave, what's the guy's name? Itchy or whatever. leave him up in the treehouse. Okay. Me and the princess will be down below.
You know
what about those, Puppet, those Wookiee women? Is what I mean. I just want to ask him about the Wookiee women.
Well, sure, up in the trees.
You ever go up in the trees?
The Wookiee woman.
Yeah,
I think is that the next track, Jason?
Wookiee. Ooh, Wookiee woman.
I don't know, but I got to get. We got the credit. Fire. You had a heck of a. Of a combo playing behind you. You had the great George Corey piano. He's also your arranger. You had Al Shackman, crazy Al Shackman on guitar. I mean, you must have stories for days about Al. Can only imagine. Peter Ind on bass and crazy Rudy Grant on drums. That must you just have been Rudy an incredible Grant. Session.
How'd you get Rudy?
Well, I don't. There was a lot of energy in that studio, fellas. Let me tell you,
we could feel it.
It wasn't just energy. I remember it getting kind of smoky. We might have had some of the death sticks going. I don't know. It was a wild night. We did this all in one day.
One day, the whole album was recorded in one day.
Yep, straight through.
Why do I find that really
a whole day? It feels like this might have been done in 1 hour. Let's go on to move on to the next track here. Hopefully this is sort of your theme song for your appearances on Rebel Force Radio. This is I Like It Here.
With my arms around you, it becomes so clear. Now that I have found you, I like it right here.
After hearing that, I only have two questions. I like it here. What exactly is it, and where is here?
Well, we were getting pretty mellow in the studio, as I said. This one was very late at night, and we were just enjoying the vibe and getting kind of mellow. I think Lobot. Dropped in. He might be. I think we tried him out on the vibes.
Lobot, I did not know. Well, Lobot had musical skill and ability.
He's always got those headphones on. You ever notice? He's a jazz fanatic.
Well, this is a scoop.
And I think he even brought a few of those Twin Pod Cloud Car guys by. I mean, they get pretty crazy.
Is that right? I think with the responsibility of flying the Twin Pod Cloud cars, they were, they'd probably keep things more straight on as an arrow.
As we used to say in the jazz world, they were stratosphere, baby.
And they were out there, man.
Of course, you were in Cloud City at the time, and so it's nothing but stratosphere. That's probably why Lando hung there.
That's right.
And also, I think we know how the clouds moved into Cloud City.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I know what he's saying, Jimmy Mac.
You know, it may be a
surprise. That's the price you pay for being successful.
Right. It may be a surprise for many people to hear that wonderful sort of honey tenor voice that you're using on this album. You know, for someone who has such a notable, suave, debonair lower register, where does that high tenor come from?
Well, you know, I was a young man at the time, Jason, and I sure could hold those notes. You know, my mom was, growing up in Harlem, she was actually an opera singer. So, I took a lot from her. She had a beautiful voice.
You're wonderful, puppet. Yeah, well. You're just wonderful.
Okay.
Listen, it's all about love, fellas.
You know, all I have to say, though, is if people are just listening to this as an audio podcast, you got to get over to Patreon and see the full show video of this. We can't release it anywhere else. It's only going to be on Patreon, and you got to see what's going on here because Puppet Lando is here with us, folks. You don't understand. I mean,
this is a track-by-track review on the 50th anniversary of this incredible release. Let's Misbehave. We got a few exclusive. Yes. All right. We got a few more tracks here. For the king of cool, it sure is warm tonight.
Warm tonight. Our hearts are warm tonight. Here in the firelight, we're lost from you.
Oh,
wow, wow. Ooh.
Lost with you.
Oh, my God. He's taking the middle note there. Wow.
Wow. That is just wow. And just I'm swooning. Swank, I'm swooning.
I see that.
I am swooning.
I remember... That. So it sounds, you know, as I'm listening to this for the first time in years, and I, you know, it sounds like, you know, here, I think me and the boys wanted to stay mellow, you know, for a little while longer. late at night, I'm sounding a little groggy here, but listen, it's very romantic, it's very sophisticated. Listen, are you listening, Swank?
Yeah, I'm listening.
You put this on for your lady, and you got a little Colt 45. You really got something there.
Uh huh. Are you telling me it's a sure thing?
It works every time. She wants you to make her warm tonight.
All right. Okay. But what happens next? I don't know. But the track is called Nothing for Nothing.
Ooh.
Give something for something. Be someone to someone. Or nothing. Just nothing is just what you'll be worth.
Oh, I love those big finishes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I do too. And I notice a lot of the big finishes, he's just merely repeating the title of the song over and over again until the band flourishes out.
Well, you know, a little.
Is that part of the technique there, puppet? Is that, I mean, what a true lounge lizard would do, right?
Well, you know, we're trying to create a little magic in there, and sometimes you gotta milk it for everything it's got. You know, there was Billy Preston who said, "Nothing from nothing leaves nothing." You might remember.
I do, yes.
Yeah, but you gotta have something if you want to be with me.
Yes.
So remember, ladies.
Ladies. Are you, no. You're talking to me in swank.
No, I'm talking to
the ladies in the audience.
Like, the ladies in the audience. Okay.
I'm talking to the ladies right now.
All right, okay.
So remember, you got to bring it, ladies. I mean, I may be smooth, but I can't do all the work.
you're soft as a puppet because you're made of felt, you know, but I get it. Smooth isn't cool. Right. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, and, but you want to be... you want your felt to be felt, is what you're saying.
I think that's the name of the next track. We got nothing for nothing, and I want my felt to be felt. But by the way, while we're talking, any thoughts about going back into the studio, maybe recording another album? I mean, it's very few that just record one album and then out.
I'm hoping that maybe one of these days I'd like to get back in the studio and do a little crooning. I won't sound like this, but yeah, you know, we might have to update this with maybe do a theme from Shaft or something. You know, there's
shut your mouth.
There's many other songs that have come along since 1961 that I would love to do.
Okay, all right. Well, and we can add the theme to Shaft to that list.
Mm-hmm.
Anything more contemporarily, maybe like a Billie Eilish cover or something like that?
Billy D meets Billie Eilish. Can you imagine that duets album?
Yeah, well, I tweeted about her. So we, yeah, there's...
Oh, really?
Listen, yeah, you know, you get... I do a little... I do a little crooning with little Billy.
Is that what you call
Billy
her?
Billy and Billy. It could be Billy D and Little Billy.
All right. Next. You know, a lot of people after The Empire Strikes Back came out kind of wondered this question. I wonder what became of me, of Billy D. And then we saw you in Tim Burton's Batman in 89, like we all realized.
That was cool.
Yeah.
It's the same champagne. It's a sight to see, but I wonder what became of me.
Oh,
I wonder what became of.
Al Shackman on the guitar there.
That's pretty good.
So where do you get that control of those notes? Is your
it's all in the feeling. That's one of my old. That's one of my favorites. That's an old Johnny Mercer song, and it's got that little. It's got a little bit of that roguish element. You know, it's got a little bit of that Lando. You know, I mean, what became of me? Well, I went to Cloud City, baby.
Yeah.
Hey, we should update a few of these songs. Lando-ize them.
Yeah.
I just invented a new word. Hey.
Maybe that's what you do. Maybe it becomes sort of a remake, really. And you Lando-ize it. I like that.
Yeah, today.
All right, we got a couple more here. This one really just it goes without saying. House of Flowers. House of Flowers from 1961's Let's Misbehave.
My house is made of flowers. The warm wind
carpet the floor. Whenever there's spring showers, I open the rainbow door.
You open the rainbow door.
Again, swooning. Swooning, yeah. Puppet. Swooning, yeah. I love you. It's beautiful.
You know, the album says that this is all my, you know, what does it say? My personality and music. And I don't, you know, I listen to this and I'm not sure what to think, honestly. I mean, it's a, I got a house made of flowers. I mean, you know, I mean, everyone knows I live among the clouds.
Oh, of course. Mm. Of course.
I'm so sorry that this has to come to an end, but we've got the final track. I know, but this is the final track right here.
Okay.
So we saw what was behind the rainbow door. Let's see where the red sun blues.
Red sun, red sun, ain't you gonna rise today? Red sun, red sun, ain't you gonna rise today? Can't eat, can't sleep, my baby's gone away. My baby's
We got a little mojo working here.
I just, you know, I just love the way you bend the note, and you don't even care if you're, you know, on pitch or anything. You just make it happen.
Maybe a little pitchy dog, you know, but I think this would have been great with some horns on it, you know, like a Maceo or something like that. I say here too, what is the line? If you ain't got no sugar, you might as well be dead. And we,
okay.
And we, hey, we know, we all know what the sugar is, right, fellas?
Yes.
I'm just trying to bring it full circle. You know?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah. It was such a full circle. I'm absolutely dizzy at this point. I feel like I'm still spinning circles.
What'd you get out of here, you old pirate?
Any last thoughts about the last 50 years since you were in the recording studio for this incredible masterwork? And I got to say, the album art, you know, as far as album covers go, this is really something. That Arial bold font across that sepia picture of you, is that a cornfield? I don't know really what's going on, but. Anyway, as album covers go, this is certainly one of them.
I think we just took that photo really just in the alley of the theater I was at. You know, they do such a good job making the illusion of a countryside.
Okay. I was going to say there's a lot of grass there in that Manhattan.
It's all blue screen.
I think there was also... I think there's also a lot of grass backstage there with the George Corey ensemble there.
There might have been a little bit of that, too. You could put this album on and look deeply into my eyes. You know, this was a time I was trying to become a chanteur, if you will. But we didn't get too far with that. But hey, you've got the casual flirting, the clear-eyed cynicism. The spontaneous humor, the debonair, devil may care, charm and grace of Billy D. That's all there for you.
Wow.
On two sides of beautiful, beautiful vinyl.
That was wonderful. Wow. That was wonderful.
You can get it. It's available, as Jimmy Mac said. It's on, I believe, on Apple Music, on Spotify, the album Let's Misbehave with the George Corey Ensemble. And, George Corey, he rest in peace. What a giant.
But it takes giants to be within the same arena as one such as Puppylando. And I personally am honored and blessed by your presence here in the Rebel Force Radio Studios. I hope we can do this again sometimes. That was a lot of fun, very informative. And I got to tell you, I'm shivering. It's so chilly in here because of your coolness.
Well, you know, and I'm pretty good looking too. Don't leave that out.
No, sir.
And thanks for having me, fellas. I really enjoyed this.
Well, we did too. And let's do it again soon. All right. Don't be a stranger to us.
Okay.
He just did you see
man,
that?
You talk about Elvis left the building. I mean, the way Puppet Lando disappears, it's Bill, did you see that? Did you see how fast he was able to get out of here?
Man, you know, he's just wait a minute. Yeah, he's just like a flash of light. You don't want to look away because you might miss him.
What?
Pure magic. What can I say? Pure magic.
Yeah. Oh, that illusion's... That illusion is not broken.
There were a couple times.
I don't think there's I don't think there's anywhere to go after that.
God, will we ever see him again?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I'll never not unsee that. Like a sack of potatoes.
Okay. It's funny to us.
Wow. Big thanks to Puppy Lando for dropping in. And and also big thanks to Billy Mack for taking a time out to hang out with us this week. Bill, it's always good to have you. And we talked last week about, you know, you're a member of our trio here when we do those film commentaries. We're looking at maybe doing one on the Clone Wars movie. You remember that?
Oh, my God.
Clone Wars.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I don't think I've seen that since it came out.
Wow. Well, that would be even more fun. So hopefully that's something that we're going to do here before the end of the summer. So make sure you bone up.
Yeah, we'll be celebrating the big 13th anniversary of the Clone Wars this August. So that's when the film was released theatrically.
It's amazing.
Yes.
It's come a long way.
So it went from being something brand new and fresh to an iconic classic in less than a decade and a half. And we were there with front row seats the whole way through. So, yeah, why not? Let's turn the clock back this August and sit down and watch that theatrical release of the Clone Wars movie, the lowest grossing Star Wars film of all time. Let's get gross together.
Well, it's gonna be interesting just to compare the animation because they all look like wood. Then remember,
there's
kind of
right.
a wood thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
a lot of wood in that movie.
Yeah, there was a lot of wood in that movie. I believe there was a tribute song written here on Rebel Force Radio because the woodenness became a meme among the Star Wars fans. And I think the term Obi-Wan's wooden nuts. Does that ring any bells to anyone?
It does. Something. Yeah. Obi-Wan's wooden nuts. I think so.
We have to dust off that classic.
Why you chew on that?
The commentary track. Why you chew on that?
Quick.
Nice segue.
Quick. quick reminder about RFR and Patreon. As we mentioned earlier, go to over to the rebelforceradio.com, the official website, and you'll see the Patreon banner, and that will take you over to where you can subscribe and pledge your patronage to the operation here at Rebel Force Radio. Lots of benefits depending on what tier you are able to subscribe to, but get the for the all access, you get the full show video, so you can get an idea of what we found so funny over the last 30 minutes. Also, don't forget about that big contest. You can win yourself a three of a kind 3 3/4 inch scaled Zero the Hut. And it really is incredible. Hasbro never made anything like this. And if you have a collection of Clone Wars action figures and you're looking to create a diorama, I mean, talk about, we were mentioning the Clone Wars movie. That's what introduced us to Zero the Hut. We couldn't believe what we were watching and hearing. If you want to pay homage to that, there's no other way to do it than by becoming a member of the Patreon community and heading over to the Patreon page and commenting on that post. A party with Zero.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Come party with me.
So,
a and senator?
Who want to party with
this neighborhood? Patreon.com/Rebel Force Radio. And look for the post titled, I Want to Party with Zero the Hut. Or wait a second. No, that's what you're supposed to comment. And then look, the post is, just look for the picture of me, damn it.
Oh, what a pitch, man. What a pitch, man. Also home to exclusive podcasts like the RFR Comlink, the Q&A, Babu Freak, Clone Wars Declassified, Remastered, so much more. Also, when we do these live after shows like the Bad Batch after show, if you're a member of the Patreon group, you get to jump to the head of the line. So our call screener will identify you as such, and we'll make sure that we get you on the air with us. Again, all those details, patreon.com/Rebel Force Radio. We are also on YouTube, growing by leaps and bounds each and every day, youtube.com/Rebel Force Radio. It is a virtual archive, a repository, if you will, of Rebel Force Radio content, from the classic interviews, parodies, and bits to the latest live stream and after shows. You find us right there at youtube.com/Rebel Force Radio. Also,
it's a suppository of content.
Is that what I said? Did I say suppository?
No.
Oh, repository.
Suppository.
It's very compact.
The spirit of wackiness that Puppet Lando brought to the show has really just bled into the sign off. And it's, I'm really having a lot of fun with it.
It's a plume. And there are premieres of the full show audio of the Rebel Force Radio flagship show each and every week. So look for those. And the way you find out about those things is by subscribing and hitting that notification bell. Want to make sure you do that. If you'd like to play with us in between shows, we'd love to hear from you. Show at rebelforceradio.com is the email address. Voicemail line, it's open 24/7. Just ring us up, 708-320-1RFR. That's 708-320-1737. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you'll find us out there. And once again, the official website for all things and everything RFR, rebelforceradio.com. As Jim mentioned, we've got a whole bunch of new products over there in the shop. So click on that and pick up some merch. And above all else, keep listening. Keep listening to Rebel Force Radio. Tell your friends, if there's a Star Wars fan in your life and they haven't heard of Rebel Force Radio, say, what are you doing? You got to listen and watch Rebel Force Radio. We're available anywhere you can find podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're streaming on WGN Plus. If you're over at Jedi News, you'll see new episodes releasing there. iHeart, TuneIn, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. Anywhere you can find podcasts, you'll find us right here at Rebel Force Radio. We love to have you subscribe, and we love to have your reviews. Review the show. Just one rule, please.
Make them good.
All right, that's it. We're going to see you next time. Thanks so much for being here. Billy Mack, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. It's been a blast.
And Puppet Lando, wherever you are, we thank you. Behind the rainbow door.
He hears
you. Yeah. We'll see you next time. For Rebel Force Radio, I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy Mack.
And remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
all of that's a lie.